Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Stacy, and I'm coming to you from Sacramento. We're on the diary today. Today is Sunday, the 24th, I'm sorry, of January. I'm here with my co-host, Ray. Say hi, Ray.
Hey.
We've had technical difficulties all morning, and we had 5 minutes to spare before we came on today. So today should be kind of pretty much like it was last week. We're talking about, of course, always the Southern Poverty Law Center and what they're doing. We're going to talk about Martin Luther King and his dream turning into a nightmare. And we're also going to continue our story on Haiti and the history and the problems and just the things that have been going on over the week with them and what we've been seeing on TV and everything. But we are here every Sunday from 3 to 4 on Block Talk Radio. This is the show for the Association of African American Single Mothers, and I'm its director. We have many programs that we're starting up this week. Actually, our first Boys to Men Kick It is going to take place on Friday from 4:30 until in Natomas. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And Lorraine, like I said, we had a couple of technical difficulties, and we're just getting started.
Yeah, but things are going to go pretty smoothly because we've got some great topics to talk about anyway.
So. Yes, yes.
And one of the things we never have problems with is talking, isn't that right?
Never that or arguing. Once you know, and that's another thing. What we said we were going to talk about is the bill into law thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that we're going to continue on with that, I think, next week. But as far as this week, we weren't, you know, we didn't have it together, and we want to apologize, but we're going to get it together. And we're going to present it next week.
We just had a miscommunication.
Yeah, yeah. We could call it that, a miscommunication.
I think that's a good thing to call it.
So, once again, this is the diary. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3, and if you'd like to call in, please do so at 917-889-9946. And our website is www.aaasm.org. And we are the diary. It's the show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. And our first topic, Southern Poverty Law Center. And that's what we pretty much, you know, we're going to feature that all the time. And we're going to feature that all the time. And, you know, so last week we were talking about the children of hate and how those the children of a lot of racists, I guess, from back in the day, they grew up to live a different kind of life and choose not to do that anymore. But what we wanted to talk about today was their teaching tolerance, the tolerance project that they have. And it's an educational program to help K through 12 teachers foster respect and understanding in the classroom. And that's also what they do. They provide documentation and resources and study materials for teachers to help, you know, kids get along and learn about each other. And I think as far as, you know, now that I'm a little bit older, as far as tolerance and stuff, and, you know, just being an aware adult in America, and especially today and growing up as an African-American female, raising two sons, trying to do my best to teach them to respect themselves and others, no matter what the situation. And I think that, you know, as a country, you know, we say we're the greatest country in the world and everything like that, but, you know, our history, in my opinion, kind of doesn't add up to being great. Because if we have to teach children, we have to teach children to be tolerant of each other. There's something wrong. I mean, children come out of this world knowing nothing. Learn, you know, all that they know, they learn from their parents. So, you know, the fact that we have to teach children or, you know, even though we have to go that way, I think we need to teach the adults, especially coming out of the corporate world that I just came out of.
That makes so much sense.
You know, it's the kids, it's the adults that need to learn tolerance. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that, and tolerance is just, you know, my definition of it, is, you know, get to know someone I think once you get to know them, you would automatically become tolerant of who they are and what they do and the kind of person that they are. And for Black History Month, what we're going to do, we're going to push our Black History Project, because I think as African Americans, we can't go any further than we are right now, which isn't very far, because we don't study our past. So, you know, I think in order to teach tolerance, we need to teach history, and we need to teach where people have come from, what they've gone through, because once you have an understanding of what people have gone through, you kind of become tolerant of them, and you kind of understand the what's and where's and how's and why's of who they are. And I think we as a nation, I don't think we should be teaching this to kids. I think the Southern Poverty Law Center needs to make it mandatory for all of us. So this is The Diary. I'm coming out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And what we're going to do right now, I'm going to take a little break. And also, we have our African music that we're going to feature this week and all through Black History Month. And right now, I want to play Gazelle, because I no longer work in the corporate world by the grace and the power and the wonder of God. He's just a merciful God that he answered my prayers in 2010. I couldn't go one more month and not put all my efforts into my nonprofit, and so I'm able to do that now. So what I'm going to play now is Gazelle. And the Gazelle, if you've ever seen one,
yes.
They're beautiful in the way that they move and they just float. It looks like they're floating. And this song is an African melody, and it's Gazelle. That's how I feel. I feel so free now that I'm pretty much talking about slavery. I truly believe that corporate America is a slave master. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to say why. But
very cool.
I feel that all of us, we need to get free somehow from corporate America, because they're kind of trying to control us. Now, all the laws and stuff, the voting rights and the contributions all go in their favor now. So I'm going to play Gazelle, because I have a heart of freedom. I want to give my people a heart of freedom, and I also want to play this African music. So this is Stacey coming out of Sacramento. This is The Diary. It's the talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. And Ray and I are kind of discombobulated because we had 5 seconds worth of time to get ready because of these technical difficulties. So we're going to play Gazelle, take a breather, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right. That was Gazelle, and that is a beautiful African melody that we downloaded. And remember, once again, all our music, it's free to play. We don't steal any music from anybody or anything like that. And this is The Diary. This is the talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. I'm its host, Stacey Johnson, and the director of the program. I'm here with Ray every Sunday. Ray.
Hey.
That was cool. And today, you know, we're talking about a number of things. We're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center and their Tolerance Project. And that kind of mingles into Dr. Martin Luther King and how he felt his dream was becoming a nightmare. And then we're going into Haiti and how those people are being treated and a little bit more of their history. And then we're also going to talk about something new, our Communities of Hope Network that we're going to have on our radio show. So let me go back to the corporate slavery kind of thing, because they're like, woo,
yeah,
she went off
absolutely.
The deep end on that one.
Yeah.
You know, and I say this only, and we talked about it before, from the perspective of medical coverage.
Uh-huh.
If you have a job and you no longer have a job, you no longer have medical benefits.
You see?
That automatically puts you in a place where you have a pre-existing condition, mm-hmm. which you won't get covered for. And if you can pay for it, then you can afford it. But most of us, once we no longer work for corporate America, cannot afford to pay that. So I say in my own mind, because of personal experience, if you don't connect yourself to these corporations and do their bidding, and especially where I used to work, it was like 1970, okay? But we were here in Sacramento, and from 2007 I started working there until just this past January. It was
uh-huh.
like 1970.
What do you mean when you say that?
Okay, what do I mean? The Caucasian males
uh-huh.
can work from home.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, they can work from home. A couple of them can even fall asleep in their office where you can hear them snoring. And you have to call someone and say either shut his door or wake him up. Okay, or a manager will have one of my good friends go get his lunch every day, because he's married. Okay, or snapping at her from down the hallway, hey.
And she's a black woman.
No, she's a white woman. She's a white woman.
Okay, so that shows that separation of stuff, too.
Yeah, but it's so 1970s. It's
wow.
Like, it needs to end, and I couldn't stomach it anymore, so of course me. I start being a whistleblower on everything.
That Mad Men.
Yeah.
You know, it's
exactly. All I was waiting for somebody to do was light up a cigarette. Okay? But no, they did that outside, and then they smell like garbage when they come back inside.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, but then they go out for them cigarette breaks every 15 minutes thinking nobody's watching. Oh, but that's the upper, you know, that's white Caucasian males where I work. Where all the women, me and my loud self, say, Stacey, don't come near my desk because he'll come over here. To me, in 2010, right, that doesn't seem to be the correct attitude
no,
for corporate work.
No.
That, to me, is corporate slavery. And I have
okay.
to say goodbye.
That is a great explanation.
Goodbye. And with the economy, right, I can't afford to lose my job. Well, who can? So they lose
their mouth.
They can afford to lose their self-respect, okay, but they can't afford to lose their job. Because Mr. Bob Bill said, you going to get my lunch today? You know.
The sad thing is, it'll probably be gone in a couple of months anyway.
Wait. You know, so that's why I feel like a gazelle, because
right on. I like that.
You know, I couldn't afford to lose my job either. But more importantly, I can't afford to lose my soul.
So self-respect.
Okay,
yeah.
So. That's where I was coming from.
Stacey, no, I have to say it. Yay.
You know,
backbone, spine, standing up for what you believe in, all great things.
And,
you know, and it takes more years off your life when you don't do those things.
And I got a lot of encouragement today from a volunteer, Rosalyn. She works for an insurance company.
Uh-huh.
And we were having the conversation, and she stopped me. She said, you know, when I saw it, I said, you probably think I'm crazy. Right, I'm telling her all my. She's like, no. She said, Stacey, when you were talking, I had goosebumps on my arm.
Oh wow.
She's like, I admire you.
Yeah, it's
you
admirable,
know?
And most people could identify with
and
that.
And she could identify with it. She's like,
absolutely.
You no joke. I'm like, you know what? That's the problem. People think I'm a joke until I have to come back with some papers and some
mm-hmm.
lawsuit
right.
and say I'm no joke. Don't let the dreadlocks confuse you.
Don't mess with me.
You know, and that's how we're going to go back to the Tolerance Project. You know, it's like here in Sacramento especially, it's a good old boys club where if you're not part of the good old boys, you're the other thing, and we're going to tell you what to do. We're going to tell you how to do it, and if you don't like it, take a hike. So I love to take, because I knew I was going to take a hike anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to take a hike perspective.
Right.
You know, and here in America, it's like that's what's happening to all of us. You know, the corporations are controlling us because, what, the economy's so bad, everybody needs their job, so you're going to lose your soul, you lose your self-respect just so you pick up that lousy paycheck that if you lost probably one of them, you'd be homeless.
Yes.
So, you know, the Tolerance Project teaches us all how to get along, and maybe one day my grandson won't have to tell these same stories that I'm saying. I won't have to sit here and talk about how Martin Luther King's dream became a nightmare, because he says that it definitely has. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and I'm just gonna go over a little bit of it again. And that was in 1967, December 23rd, Atlanta, Georgia. And once again, he said in 1963 in Washington, D.C., and I heard this, actually, I heard him speaking this a couple days ago.
Who is this?
Martin Luther King.
Oh, you're talking about Martin King.
Yeah, I heard him giving this speech. I mean, they had a recording of him.
Uh-huh.
And I heard it, and, I mean, there's nothing like that man's voice.
Oh, no. Isn't it just, it says, it's just timber in it.
It's
sings,
passion, and it's, and it's wonderful.
Soul.
Right.
Yeah,
so let's go over it again. He says, in 1963 in Washington, D.C., I tried to talk to the nation about a dream that I had had. I must confess that not long after talking about the dream, I started seeing it turn into a nightmare. Just a few weeks after I had talked about it, it was four beautiful Negro girls were murdered in a church in Birmingham, Alabama. I watched that dream turn into a nightmare as I moved through the ghettos of the nation and saw black brothers and sisters perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. And that's where I want to stop. Because he gave this speech 1967, December 24th. He says where he sees his black brothers and sisters in the ghetto, in poverty, amongst a vast, vast ocean of poverty. Well, close your eyes. Couldn't that be today?
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't it really be today?
It could.
And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And I'm sure he could say today, and I see all my young brothers incarcerated at numbers that are beyond belief. You know, so that's why we're here. That's why I hook up with the Southern Poverty Law Center, because first of all, they rat out all the races.
Uh-huh.
We need to know where they are. And it's so sad, and I'm almost ashamed to call myself an American, that in 2010, we are still talking about this country being a racist country. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I mean, it really is. Anywhere there are people of color, the majority of people of color, anywhere they're poor. When they're majority people of color, mm-hmm. what country, the majority people of color, they're poor. So, you know, I want to see his dream become a reality. You know, walking hand in hand, and I think the young people are doing that, walking hand in hand mm-hmm. together and blah, blah, blah. The young people are. They can call each other the N-word across color lines, and it don't affect them. You know, so the young people are walking hand in hand. It's us old people that want to keep all that old stuff going, like, just this week I get updates from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Uh-huh.
And one of their updates were that it appears that racists are putting out, are backing racist candidates. They're putting them out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Racist groups are putting racist candidates out there.
The record number.
Oh, and then all in the same week, though, we get this campaign finance reform crap where corporations, right, they can spend as much as they want to back a candidate. So to me, that's dirty pool. First, we're going to back a racist, right? And then we have a corporation, you know, funding the racist.
Wow.
That's scary to me.
Yeah, no,
and that's something that needs to be addressed by all people, especially people of color, and it needs to be addressed today.
Absolutely.
And that's why we are going to address it with what our next thing is our network that we're having on this radio show. And what we're calling it is the Communities of Hope Network.
Oh, okay.
And what we're going to do, you and I, we're the sponsors of the network. This program, the diary is the sponsor of the network, but we want groups of people from everywhere, every color. We want a Chinese group. We want an Asian group. Mm-hmm. We want a Hispanic group. We want every group that wants to go out there and show the world that, no, I'm not going to continue in a racist kind of way. And we're going to fight that just as much as the races are out there active today, putting the candidates in place and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
We want to put people of peace and of love and of all different colors all together on this radio show to come on at different times, different shows, different ideas, and kind of show the world that, you know, you may have that part over there, but
mm-hmm.
this Communities of Hope Network is going to go from California all the way to New York, and it's going to have tons of people that are gathering together to say, you know what, it's time to stop, it's time to grow, to go, and to get together. So
that makes a lot of sense, and it sounds wonderful.
Right, and I'm hoping it'll be wonderful.
Well, I think it'll go far away, and at least getting your voices out there in a cohesive way. You know, it's been tried before badly. Mostly because I think men have done it.
Right.
But, you know, now
it's okay. Guys are cool.
Right, but I think a new twist needs to come into it.
Right.
You know, and I think that's exactly what this might have.
Right.
And in new forum as well, Blog Talk Radio,
right.
You know, calling in,
yep.
getting involved. You can get involved so anonymously with this, you know, and as well.
Now, if you want to call in the show, please do so. We I forget to put that out there. The number to call us is 917-889-9946. And give us your ideas on the network if you want to join. And what I'm hoping is that we get college groups, that we get groups of college students.
That's right. You stressed really
right.
wanting young people to get involved.
Young people.
Right?
Young people to get involved because we need young, fresh minds. Because I know anytime there's been a big movement, I said this before, anytime there's been a big movement across America,
mm-hmm.
we've gotten the students involved.
Yeah, that's
the thinkers.
So true. That's so true.
The thinkers, the professors, all of those, we've gotten them involved.
And they can change themselves to death.
They love getting arrested for good reasons.
They do.
You know, so what I'm asking is that any university across this nation, if you're interested in having a radio show on the Communities of Hope Network, give us a call at, on the show, 917-889-9946. Go to our website at www.aaasm.org and send me an email there, and we'll set you up. What we'd like to do, first of all, is we'll have you on the show. We'll ask you to call in, tell us what your group is all about, and how you plan to contribute some hope across the Communities of Hope Network. And that's what it's all about. Communities of Hope. That's how Barack Obama won. He gave people hope. And without hope, we're dead. And,
very true.
And, you know, with hope, anything can happen. If you live a life without hope, you don't have a life. You know, really, if you don't wake up to hope for something to happen every day, what
you're
kind of life
existing.
Are you living? You're just existing. So
we're
not just existing. We're trying to make change from California to New York. And Communities of Hope, I think we'll do it. Coast to coast. We need peace and love to prevail. I mean, we really do. You know, there are more of us now that are broke than are rich. So I think all of us people who are struggling and kind of got the worst end of this stick, you know, and I was listening to, I listened to The Daily Show, a bunch of other shows,
mm-hmm.
is how with this credit crisis thing, and, you know, America made us think that, you know, and it's so true. They put it in all our heads that if you default on your mortgage, you're a bad person.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've let your country down. And so many people are today, they walking away from those homes.
Yeah.
You know, and to me it's like, why can't regular Americans do what the banks did? They took all the money and ran. Well, mm-hmm. you know, people they're just walking away, and they don't care whether their credit is good or bad at the end of it. They're able to eat. They're able to provide for their family. So, you know, I'm loving it that, you know, it's like a brainwashing kind of thing. Oh, you want your credit to be good.
Yeah.
I worked on my credit for 10 years, and no matter what I did, it never got better.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people are in that.
I mean, I filed bankruptcy, and that stuff was still on my credit report.
Isn't that ridiculous for somebody who's working every day in their lives to make things better, for doing the right thing,
right.
and then they have to be swallowed up in all of
right.
that?
Right. So for all the people out there feeling guilt that they can't pay this mortgage that you were forced into and gave you little knowledge before you got, walk away from that stuff. Walk away from it. You know, walk away from it.
Definitely.
Take care of your family first. You know, America wants to brainwash. Oh, your credit.
It says it keeps you on this leash and this horrible.
And I want to know. I want to know personally who came up with the whole notion of it. Anyway, how does it work?
Well,
you know,
we're not
right.
And we know who came up with
it. Right. Well, of course, you know. But you know, communities of hope. All of the people that are need help. Let's all get together and help each other. That's how the association started. I saw a couple old people that couldn't eat. I went and did what I could do to feed the old people. I saw a couple of young men being treated like crap. I went out there and I defended those young people.
And still do.
And
it's
still do.
Thing, yeah.
And that's what we need to do. So, this is the diary. We come out of SAC every Sunday, me and Ray Ray. We try to make it fun, but you know what? More than fun, this is serious. This is our lives. You know, this is America that we have to make better for the rest of us here. Because it's just about that time. So 3 o'clock every Sunday, we come out of SAC. We're going to take a little break, and we will be right back. Let's see. You know, I love our theme song, and I rarely play the whole version. So I'm going to play the whole thing right now. Diary, this is me and Ray. We come out of SAC every Sunday at 3. And I say SAC. I should call it what it is. It's Sacramento.
The capital of
California. Probably the brokest place in California right now with all. Everybody,
you think
should they be fired? You know what I mean? Right? If I had done such a bad job, you know, with my job's money, they would have fired me a long time ago. You know, and people, volunteers call me from others, and they, oh, I know you need help. You in California.
Ugh.
I'm like, oh, I didn't know how bad it was. So, yeah, we coming out of Sacramento, California, where we got to say bye to Arnie, which you may be okay. I like Arnie.
God, are you serious?
I love him because he's tough. You know, I love it. And he's got a no-nonsense approach to stuff that, remember, he's not American.
Right, but he lies to people all the time.
And his wife's daughter becomes
on the cell phone. Breaks the laws that, you know, they're required to do that are good laws that everybody should be
against. But, you know, I'm not a Republican. You know. Well, no, not really.
No, you're not a Republican.
And I voted for him.
No, there are some people who like Arnie.
I like Arnie.
Reasons, but I can't because.
I'm just glad he can't be president.
He's
too tough. He's
and nurses in the back. And there's a lot of really hardworking people that get.
I know. People give Arnie a bad way
he's
to go.
Horrible.
But
okay.
Arnie's not from. See, and I give him credit because he's not from here. You know what I'm saying? So he's got that. You know, all I had was a onion and a potato to eat.
He's got enough money out of American.
Right.
Wallet.
Exactly. So that's why he has the attitude he has. You know, he's like these old girly Americans. Do what you need to do to get out of trouble.
I think he needs to go back to being a kindergarten cop myself.
Maybe he'll do a couple movies. Okay. So.
Let California have the money.
And let California have the money. All right. So today on our show, we're going to finish up here with the history of Haiti and some other things that I wrote down as far as what I've noticed on the news broadcast throughout the week and stuff like that. So, but we stopped when the revolution. We stopped at Saint Dominique.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So let's see. We're going on to the Revolutionary period. Okay. The outbreak of the revolution in France in summer of 1789 had a powerful effect on the colony. While the French settlers debated how new revolutionary laws would apply to Saint Dominique, outright civil war broke out in 1790 when the free men of color claimed they too were French citizens under the terms of the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. 10 days before the fall of Bastille in July 1789, the French National Assembly had voted to seat 6 delegates from Saint Dominique. In Paris, a group of wealthy mulattoes, and that's where that comes from, right?
Yes.
The term mulatto is French and Africans, right? Mixed together and made mulattoes. Okay, in Paris, a group of wealthy mulattoes led by Julien Ramond and Vincent Auger unsuccessfully petitioned the white planter delegates to support mulatto claims for full civil and political rights. Through the efforts of a group called Société d'Amis de Noir, and I know Noir is black, the Society of Black Friends, I think, of which Raymond and Olga were prominent leaders, in March 1790, the National Assembly granted full civic rights to the Gens de la Couleur.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I love French.
I know.
Maybe I'm from Haiti.
My name is French now.
Well, Lorraine.
Yes.
French is the only Ella Lale.
Named after a white descendant of my dad.
Oh, boy.
White French.
Poor you. All right, let's go. Vincent Auger traveled to Saint Dominique to secure the promulgation and implementation of his decree. Landing near Cape Français, now Cape Haitien.
Oh, wow.
In October 1790, and petitioning the royal governor, the Comte de Peignières. After his demands were refused, he attempted to incite the Gens de Couleur to revolt. Auger and Jean-Baptiste Chavin. Okay, C-H-A-V-E-N-E-S. A veteran of the Siege de Savannah during the American Revolution, attempted to attack Cape Français. However, the mulatto rebels refused to arm or free their slaves or to challenge the statutes of slavery, and their attack was defeated by a force of white militia and black volunteers, including Henri Christophe. Afterwards, they fled across the frontier to Hinche, I think, and at the time it was the Spanish part of the island. However, they were captured, returned to the French authorities, and both Auger and Chavin were executed in February of 1791. Okay, here we go. On August 22nd, 1791, slaves from the northern region of the colony staged a revolt that began the Haitian Revolution.
Ooh.
You're next. Remember how we were in the grammar school?
Okay.
I read a page, teacher. Now you're next.
Okay. Just tell me when to stop.
Okay, I will.
Tradition marks the beginning of the revolution at Baudel ceremony at Bois Caiman, Alligator Woods, near Cap Francois. The call to arms was issued by Haungan, a voodoo priest named Duddy Bookman.
Okay. Read that part again. Read that sentence again, because we're going to talk about our boy.
Okay.
Pat Robinson.
It said, the call to arms was issued by a Haungan, a voodoo priest named Duddy or Duddy Bookman.
Okay. So, the French, the revolution.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This dude was a voodoo priest.
Right
so
on.
Maybe that's where Pat Robinson thinks, because they equate voodoo and Satanism, right?
Yes, of course.
So maybe that's where the brilliant Pat Robinson came up with the hypothesis.
He you got it all twisty then,
right?
Because
yeah.
to give him a benefit of the doubt,
right?
Minute,
right.
So he got confused.
Because this is the revolution where the black people whoop the,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to stop you there because I
yeah.
think that's where Mr. the brilliant Peterson,
Robertson.
got his ideas.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now.
So you want me to read more?
Yep, keep going. Keep going.
Okay.
So within.
Within hours, the northern plantations were in flames. The rebellion spread through the entire colony. Bookman was captured and executed, but the rebellion continued to spread rapidly.
Beautiful.
In 1792, Le Guerre Sansonnax was sent to the colony. Was sent to the colony by the French Legislative Assembly as part of the Revolutionary Commission. His main goal was to gain French control of Saint-Dominique, stabilize the colony, and enforce the social equality recently granted to free people of color by the National Convention of France.
Okay.
Wow.
This is the first time I'm actually reading what you have here.
More?
Yeah, more. Okay. On August 29th, 1793, say his name again.
Sanyang.
Okay. Took the radical step of proclaiming the freedom of the slaves in the North Province with severe limits on their freedom. In September and October, emancipation was extended throughout the colony. On February 4, 1794, the French National Convention ratified this act, applying it to all French colonies.
Woo-hoo!
Wow!
Yeah.
It's amazing to listen to how things just advance.
Yep.
The slaves did not immediately flock to
Banner,
however. White colonists continued to fight with the assistance from the British. They were joined by many of the free men of color who opposed the abolition of slavery. Okay, it was not until the word of France's ratification of emancipation arrived back in the colony that Toussaint Louverture and his corps of well-disciplined, battle-hardened former slaves came over to the French Republican side in early May 1794. A change in the political winds in France caused Sansonnax to be recalled in 1796, but not before taking the steps of arming the former slaves.
Woo! Nothing like a slave with a gun.
Wow.
I love it. All right, so that's we're going to take a little break, right? It's break time. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the second half, and I think we're going to be done with the history part up until all I want to do is today. To the point where my black people got free. So that's where we're going to continue when we get back. This is Stacy. This is The Diary. And we're coming out of Sacramento every Sunday. And you know I love everybody, right?
Yeah.
I love people. I even love my ex-supervisor. I called her today after and told her, no hard feelings. I love you. I love everybody. So right now we're going to play Love Doctor. That is my favorite song. Love Doctor, baby. Here we go.
That's a good choice. We'll be right back.
gotta love that song. That's hip.
Yeah,
I like that song. Okay, that's our theme song. Sometimes I just go to the website and re-click on that on the show page just to hear our song.
Serious?
It's like,
that's
man,
great.
That song is good.
Yeah.
All right, so this is Stacy. This is The Diary. We come out of SAC every Sunday. I'm here with Ray. And, you know, this is a talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. And, you know, as I got older, you know, I guess once you know you soon to go to heaven, you get nice. You know, as I got older, you know, I'm like, I'm going to give up the ghost. I just love people. You know, I do. I mean, I go out of my way to help people because that's what we should do as human beings. You know, and the only person I'm looking to answer to is God. And I want him to say, you know, Stacy, you were pretty cool and you was faithful to me. And most of all, you went out there and helped people that were hurting. So, you know, that's what this show's all about. We try to give people knowledge about what's going on in the world because I think we get so caught up in our everything that we don't really give much thought to other people and what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't give much thought to how what other people are doing is affecting us. Because I think, honestly, now that I watch the laws and stuff and look at the C-SPAN, and I mean, even go here downtown in Sacramento on Tuesday night to the council. I mean, they making rules for us that, you know, it's based on their judgment.
Yeah.
And who's to say that they have the best judgment?
And nobody's watching.
And nobody's watching. You know, and that's kind of scary. And we've been brainwashed to say, oh, that's the way it goes. As long as we aren't slaves anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or as long as we have a job. Or as long as we whatever, then we don't really concern ourselves on the intricacies of life, which is wrong.
That is so true.
And I think that is why the financial situations are what they are in this state and across America, low unemployment. And who said that government and businesses would look out for the interest of regular people?
Mm-hmm.
They need their foot shot.
And you meant low employment, right?
Low employment. What did I say?
You said low unemployment.
Low
employment.
Right. High unemployment.
High unemployment.
Low employment.
Yeah, I knew.
You know?
You knew what you were saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks for getting me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like trickle down. What?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that trickled down when Reagan was president was crack. That was it. You know what I'm saying? So all of that, all the government's got our best interest at heart stuff, it's not true. It's just not true. Healthcare alone should wake people up to say, you know, I mean, all those people.
You would think.
But see, it's not the regular everyday people that are going out there making the noise because we don't know how.
We're
too busy trying to feed Jesse Freddie
and
Chris.
We don't have time. We are doing other
things. We're blinded to the situation, and we need to stop being blinded anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were doing here was we were talking about Haiti because that's the only country in the world, okay, Lorraine, where it's founded by people of color, black people.
And it's like 95% black people.
95%. You know, it's got a high illiteracy rate. But one thing I've noticed it does have, anywhere there's people of color, you see power. 70-year-old grandma came out alive 7 days.
Oh, God. Oh,
and
oh my God. That's so
saying,
true.
Praise God and friends. Okay?
That is so true.
That's why I love my people.
13-year-old
little boy came out alive after 8 days.
And the man
yesterday,
that did his film.
23.
Yes.
But see, he said, I had an air pocket and I had food on both sides.
Right, so he was
But the one thing, you know, if you look at those stories, what the families are saying is that nobody would listen to me. You know, that's what I'm like.
Why?
You know, you just have to have God or something because thank God they listened to him. Yeah, he wouldn't listen. I told him my brother was in here and I got a German journalist to come. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's such a sad, sad
and
thing.
And not to go off topic totally, but just a little bit to illustrate your point more is that that's the same thing that happened to the parents of that terrorist that tried to blow up the plane. They went to the consulate. They said, something is wrong with our son.
Right.
He's doing these things.
Right.
And they went, go
right,
away.
Right.
And these were very, very, very high in the community.
Right.
Black
trying
people
to tell you.
Trying to tell you, something to be a member of society.
I'm telling you, my son is about to do something.
Can you imagine
blowing me out
in the first?
That's just crazy.
But yeah, you can really see the credibility thing.
It's crazy. It's like we're oblivious to anything but affects us directly. Yeah, just like I have DirecTV. How they say they have the highest customer service, I don't know, because if your bill is due tomorrow and you had a problem 2 weeks ago, they're not going to come out and fix your problem.
Wow.
Yeah, if you have a bill that's past due, right, they won't come fix anything until you pay up.
It's like a loan shark.
You know, and I'm like, okay, well, my bill is due. No, it's past due, but you have like a week to pay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm choosing to pay in that week, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Well, why do you tell me I got till here so I can't watch my stuff till I pay you?
So do you think that the people in Haiti are doing a good job managing the crisis?
No.
And there, but most of them are.
I mean, it,
at least black people in a
see, and I don't know because
what's going on
if
there?
If you look at the newscast mm-hmm. about what's going on, I mean, one story you hear over here that the bureaucracy held up the people from coming, and then on our end, one airline wouldn't let the rescue people bring all their medicine because they only had a certain limit of bags they could bring, and they were over their limit, so we couldn't make any special.
Too heavy or something.
But
like that.
No, they wouldn't. I mean, it wasn't even the plane was too heavy. There are certain embargoes or something they say. And you can't take over a certain amount with you.
Those kind of things need to be lifted and become a crisis.
That's what the poor,
come on, common sense.
That's what the poor medical rescue people were saying.
Yeah, Sanjay.
So you know what they were doing? That's Sanjay. What group?
All by himself.
Poor Sanjay. You got to
love
Sanjay.
He's doing the people's work. He's amazing.
Right.
And so is Anderson Cooper,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Two people who are in there.
And that's the thing that kills me. It's like you see them saying on national TV, why isn't anybody, why aren't they here? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like anywhere there's people of color in need, there's always a delay. You know, why is there always a delay? You know, I'm not understanding that. You know, and then again, on the other hand, we don't really have a chance to see how Caucasian or people of not color react because guess what? Nothing terrible really happens to them like that.
Yes.
Because they won't live in the kind of construction that the Haitians been living in, right? They wouldn't they wouldn't allow themselves, right? They knew better.
Absolutely.
Right? We don't live like that here in America.
Mm-hmm.
There's earthquakes in the bay.
Yeah.
Okay, the freeway failed. Okay, that's how people got killed.
Structures are completely
you know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
So and that's another thing what I want to point out and say. Why isn't there some global kind of plan that when any country, especially those third world type countries, have a disaster, that why isn't there the United Nations has an automatic plan to help people? And automatic, given their situation, country by country, we know Haiti's only got one airport. Okay, so what do we do when something happens?
To make sure it's like expedient.
Right. Because we already know there's going to be 10,000 excuses why we didn't get to these poor people. And the people that didn't get killed from a building falling, they died later because they didn't have food, water, or medicine.
And basic buildings like hospitals, city hall, those kinds of things should be built by an international community if you're a third world
and
country.
And it's like every man
so
for himself kind
so
of
so that you
stuff.
Can have the kind of equipment you need to build a retrofit building in the in the new millennium, nobody's buildings should be crumbling.
What I'm saying, though, just because it appears that national crisis are coming year after year, let's globally, as a nation, as a world, figure out a plan that if whatever poor nation, this is what.
That's an excellent idea.
You know?
I think that totally needs to be promoted.
Because I think we're more global now than we've ever been.
That's a different kind of global action than I think I've ever really heard.
Right. And you know what? I think Bill Clinton would be the one to do it.
You know what? I think you were right.
Yep, Bill Clinton. Because everybody loves him.
And he could bring his stepbrother, George Bush, along with him.
Stepbrother.
That's what they said.
His retarded stepbrother.
That's what Mrs. Bush, George Bush's mother, calls Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
She goes, you haven't heard from your stepbrother in a couple of days because they do a lot of work together now.
And then we're looking at all this money that people have been giving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to make sure it doesn't go to the corrupt, you know, that it goes to who it needs to go to.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's me. That's my soapbox on people in need and people that need help. So, You know, we're going to talk about Haiti because we don't want to ever forget about those folks.
No,
you know? And we'll finish up with some more history next week. But, you know, I want to stop on that and talk about the Association of African American Single Mothers, what we're doing, and, you know, the things that are going on. Now, you know, we don't talk a lot about that on the show, but I really think I should.
Oh, no, I definitely think you should. I think that's the core
of
what you do.
Now, what I want to do first and foremost is thank volunteers that met with me this week, that came to the house, worked on some stuff. I want to thank Cheyenne, Terrence, and Rosalind because she's a wonderful UC Davis student. She's my office person.
Wonderful.
Terrence is going to head our Boys to Men project for us, and Rosalind is doing outreach for us. So she's reaching out.
Are they all young people?
Cheyenne and Terrence are young. So, Rosalind's
a peer.
Rosalind is a mature woman of maybe, I don't even know how old she is, but I know she has kids in 10, 12 years old.
So
she's a little younger than me,
Mother.
Right, definitely. So I spoke with all those guys this week, and, you know, Rosalind says, Stacey, just talking to you, I got goose pimples.
That's great.
And I'm like, man, that's cool, because,
you
know, I want people to feel the fire for which I do this work. You know, this isn't like a lot of me and Terrence is from a Baptist background. And, you know, we were talking about Baptist churches and how some of them may not be on the up and up. We had a good conversation on that. You know, we were talking about that and how, you know, we just want to reach out as a group of people to help people. Terrence is going out there and his grandma now is the pastor of the church. So I'm like, tell grandma, we got to do, you know, you got this boys program. He's like, no, we don't have. He said, well, most of them are family members. I'm like, well, grandma must be all right. Because if you can get your family to come hear you preach.
There you go.
You must be all right.
And
because family knows you.
And it starts there.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Just, it's just like the work that your children do with you.
Exactly. Oh, my children.
And then
I love them.
It just goes down into helping the greater network, like what you're trying to
divide.
That's
right.
It's perfect.
So
the jumping off point being the AAASN.
Right. So what we're doing Friday for any young man from grade 3 to grade 12, we are having our first ticket for the Boys to Men Project. And what that is ticket. Now, some older people, that means something different from some of the older folks.
That would mean something different even to me.
But for my young people, for my young boys, we're going to kick it. We're going to eat. Big Mama going to make some food. We got an Xbox 360. We're going to have a tournament. We have music, of course. Rhapsody provides us with our music. We're going to have music and just a lot of fun, you know, because there's nowhere for these young boys to go.
And that's one of the biggest problems.
There's nowhere.
That's a basic.
I mean, just say that. Between the hours of 3 and 6 is when these kids get in the most trouble.
And the
simple fact that we've taken that away from kids, it's like kids are like the last thing we're going to spend money on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like for some reason
we
don't
have anything left over in the couch cushions, we'll throw it.
You know, but we got to spend time and energy on our kids, let them know we love them. But the ticket is every Friday. And what we're trying to do, we're going to test it this week, see what age group comes. But we're thinking we may have to have two different sets, one for little young men and one for the junior high and above. Because
I think you're right.
You know, but we're going to mix them all from time to time.
And it's for boys.
It's for boys.
Okay.
It's the Boys to Men Project, Friday night kick it in the Thomas. All of my volunteers are going to be there to help, so we're going to feed them. We're going to have a good time. We're going to see how it goes. And then we're doing these kick it just to get the guys together, but we're going to actually start the program very soon. And the Boys to Men Project, just to go over quickly, because we need to quote.
1 minute.
And the Boys to Men Project, we focus on these principles: dedication, discipline, determination, heart spirit, optimism, resilience, and unify. And those are the principles that we've developed the Boys to Men Project around for our boys to get them out of jail, to keep them in school, and to give them some hope. So that's what we're doing. That's the Boys to Men Project. And also, remember, if you can, please donate your time as well as your cash at www.aaasm.org. This is The Diary. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3, and we hope to talk about things that you're interested in, We'd like you to call in at any time, or we will be opening up the chat line for anybody that wants to chit-chat about what we talked about today. If you have any suggestions, and please, if you do want to become a Community of Hope Network member, we're going to get you on this radio show. We want to talk to you. We want to interview you, see what you want to do, what you are all about, and see how you can make our community better through the Communities of Hope. This is Stacy. Right. This is Ray.
Say bye, Ray.
Bye.
See you next week.
Next week, and look on the Blog Talk show page to see what we'll be talking about next week, but I'm almost certain it'll be Haiti, and it's going to be some love. So thanks a lot, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week, as I will, and look at the website, see what we're doing, and once again, if you have young boys, the Friday night kick it in Natomas. And have a good week, guys.
Okay. Bye.